Welcome to If Not Forgotten, stories of hopelessness that turn to hope. Here is your host, Mike Zwick.
Well, good morning. This is Michael Zwick with If Not For God. And as we always say when we wake up in the morning, that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we're just glad to be here this morning. A lot of people aren't here, but God has given us another day, and we're grateful for that. And, you know, everything that the Lord makes is good. And so just glad to be here this morning, and we hope to share a word of inspiration with you. We hope to share something that could lead somebody to salvation. And we just hope that God blesses this broadcast. Because as we know, it says in Psalms 127, unless the Lord build the house, the laborers labor in vain. As a matter of fact, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about was when I went to a Duke basketball game when they played against Wofford. And I remember the day that I went and I was all excited about it. And before I left for the day to go work, and my wife gave me the ticket. And she goes, here, take the ticket. So when you go to the game tonight, you'll know where you're going and this, or you'll know where you're going, and you won't miss out on anything or anything like that. And I put it in my car, and all I would have had to do was look at the ticket. But I start walking up to the game because the game was at 9 o'clock, and all of a sudden nobody was there. And I walk up closer to the stadium. And when I walk up closer to the stadium, people actually started to come towards me with their Duke jerseys on. And I said, oh no, don't tell me. And I looked and I Googled the Duke game, and it said the game was almost over. Well, that is our hope and our prayer for you today listening out there in radio world, that you do not miss the call for salvation from Jesus Christ. As we know, it says in Scripture, it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And it also says in John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. And friends, we don't want God's wrath to be on you today. We want you to live your life and live an abundant life, live a good life. But when you pass away, that when you pass away and you go and you get to see Jesus in glory in heaven, that is our prayer for you today. You know, God is so good. I woke up today and I just started jumping up and down, and I said, you know what, this is going to be a great day. And I heard somebody say one time, they said that one man wakes up in the morning and he says, oh God, it's another day. Another man wakes up in the morning and says, thank God for another day. Which one are you going to be? Are you going to be that first man who wakes up and says, oh God, just another day? Oh, thank God it's Friday. Another week is over. Wishing your life away. Are you going to wake up every day and say, I am just thankful for this gift of an extra day? Friends, we hope you do the latter. And we know that God is good. So Matthew chapter 25, you start in verse 31, and we're going to go all the way to verse 46, and it talks about the sheep and the goats. And it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatsoever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it unto me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in person and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And when I think about this, I know a lot of people in the church today are a lot of people who they want to be holy or they want to be righteous and they want to do all these good things and they want to do the big things. And the big things that they think about is they say, you know, I want to be able to speak in tongues and people are able to interpret it and understand what I'm saying. And I want to be able to, go up to somebody and say, not even knowing that person, and say, you were diagnosed with cancer last Thursday and God wants to heal you right now. I'm going to pray for you. And they pray for that person and the person is healed. And you know what? When I think about this Matthew chapter 25, and I also look in Luke chapter 10 verses 19 through 20, where he says, see, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. But in verse 20 of Luke 10, he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And is it in Matthew chapter 25, you know, the interesting thing is to be able to give money to the poor, whether it's, you know, organizations that I try to help out like Compassion International or World Vision or whatever it is. You know, it's not really flashy to do that stuff. You're not walking up the side of a wall. You're not speaking a word to somebody and saying, I know what you did last week and God wants to heal you. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing special that we think. But at the end of the time, when it comes to the end of the days, in Matthew chapter 25, he's going to come down. He's going to say, Jesus, he says, there's the sheep and the goats. And Mr. Rogers, the guy, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, there was a movie that just came out about him. But on his deathbed, one of the things that he said, Mr. Rogers was actually a Presbyterian minister. And on his deathbed, he said to his wife, was I a sheep? And I think we can try to do all this other cool stuff that's out there, all the stuff that we see. You know, whether it's, like he said in verse 19 of Luke 10, he says, you can tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, nothing will harm you. And we think that stuff is cool. And that's great. Jesus says we can have those powers. But the biggest thing is according to Matthew chapter 25 one of the biggest things is what did you do for the least of these, for the people who were poor, the people who didn't have anything? And it may not seem flashy, it may not seem great, but according to God, it's great. The scripture talks a lot about helping the poor, a lot about helping those who are in need. And one of the reasons I'm talking about this morning is because around Christmas time, everybody wants to give to the needy and help the shelters and the Salvation Army and stuff like that, but I think it's important that we do that all year round. So that was the first thing that I was going to talk about this morning. And then as we kind of move over a little bit, that is good news that we can help fatherless widows. We can go visit the prisoners. We can do the stuff, the simple stuff that Jesus asked us to do. I think a lot of times we all want to be Billy Grahams. We all want to, have the camera in our face. We all want to do great things. But a lot of times, God works in the little ways. And we may not think that what we're doing is great or spectacular or whatever. But I can tell you today, the listener, that if you're doing what God has asked you to do, you're on the right path. The world may not love what you're doing. It may not like what you're doing. It may think what you're doing is cheesy. But who cares what the world says? As a matter of fact, it says in this world, it says you will suffer persecution. I don't know if you heard about Mike Pence, but they had on the View, they had some. It was Joy Behar, I believe, and one of the things that she said about Mike Pence was she said that Mike Pence thinks that Jesus talks to him. She said, it's one thing to talk to Jesus. She says, but if you think that Jesus is talking to you, well, that's what they call mental illness. Well, that's just one of the things where, you know, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus, that you will suffer persecution. And it's not a matter of whether or not or if you'll suffer persecution, but at some point, you know, you're gonna say something or you're gonna stand for Christ, and people are gonna laugh at you. People are gonna think that, man, you've just lost your mind, you don't know what you're talking about, and you don't know what you're doing. As a personal example, I remember when I became a Christian, it was in the mid-2000s, and there were about two or three of my friends around, and one of them was an atheist from college, and the other two guys I don't even think believed in God. And one of them said something about believing in Jesus, and they kind of made fun of it. And I remember I looked over and I said, well, I believe in Jesus. And they died laughing. You know, it was kind of funny because sometimes you're so afraid of persecution, but it's like when that happened, instead of me being upset about it or instead of me getting really down about it, it was almost like, that's it? Is that the worst that they can do? Is that the worst that the devil can do? You know, sometimes maybe we just need to realize that things aren't as bad as we think they are, and that we just have to make a stand for Christ. As a matter of fact, when in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, I believe it said that they were flogged for the name of Christ. And it said when the Christians left after being beaten and flogged for the name of Christ, one of the things that they did was they rejoiced because they had suffered persecution for the name. So, you know, I think a lot of times people are embarrassed or they want to be politically correct or this or that, but we have to realize that sometimes, number one, we need to take a stand for Christ. We need to take a stand for Christ. And number two, we have to realize that sometimes when we take a stand for Christ, people aren't just going to applaud us and tell us how great we are. The world is not going to say yes to Jesus. We have to be the light in the world. People are going to look to us. And whether we think we know what we're doing or not, if we claim to be a Christian, people are going to look at what we do and they're going to watch what we do. They don't care what we say, but they're going to watch our actions, watch how we treat people, watch what we do to help out the poor, watch our language, watch the drinks and the stuff that goes in our mouths and the stuff that comes out of our mouths. We're going to pause now for a break.
If you're trying to sell your home and you're sick of your realtor telling you they can't get your price, thank Todd Harrison. Call me. To sell your house for more money in less time and with no hassles, call 919-274-5532. Hi, this is Todd Harrison, and this is a great time to find out what your house is worth. Call me at 919-274-5532. Together we can sell your house for more money in less time and with no hassles. The Todd Harrison team is affiliated with Keller Williams Realty.
All right, I'm back. And, you know, one of the things that I was going to say was that, you know, we all want to do the cool stuff. But unfortunately, a lot of times we don't want to do the simple stuff. We all want to be Billy Graham's. We all want, you know, the world to look at us and go, wow, that's a great preacher. We want to walk into a bar and say, repent, and people just start weeping. But that's usually not how God works. A lot of times God works with just the simple things. He uses a teacher to speak to somebody in their lives. He uses a mother to just give her son and her daughters the word of God. And when that person grows up, a lot of times they do great things for the kingdom of God. He likes to use us in the small ways, or things that we think of as in the small ways, whether it's just, you know, doing a prison ministry, or whether it's just donating your clothes to the local shelter, or just prayer. Prayer is so important in the Bible. You know, it's interesting that there was a time where if I wanted to be able to tell you that God was good, I would have to walk up to you and say, God is good. And if I wanted to tell 10 people, I'd have to tell 10 people that God is good. And still, I think it's important that we do that stuff. But do you realize that now with social media and with us being able to use avenues like Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, that we could make a tweet or we could put a post up and we could say that God is good. And then all of a sudden, 500 or 1,000 or thousands of people or millions of people can see that God is good. I think a lot of times we don't realize how much of an influence we have now. 100 years ago, if somebody wanted to be able to do stuff, it was really hard for them to get the word out. I mean, they'd have to go one person at a time, and that's important. But now we can reach a lot of people through avenues like, the social media. Not only that, but Jesus talks about helping out the poor, helping out the underprivileged. There was a time where if we wanted to be able to give somebody some money, we'd actually have to find people and find out if it was a scam or whatever it was. Now we have great organizations out there like Compassion International or World Vision or the Salvation Army or whatever it is, where we can just donate to them and they do the work for us. So it's pretty easy and it's pretty simple to do things to help the poor and the underprivileged. But it's also pretty easy not to do it. It's also easy to say, I'll do that later, or I'll let somebody else do that. But as we can remember in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus said where we want to be the sheep. We want to be the ones where Jesus comes up to us and he says, you know what? You did for the least of these, he says, and you did it unto me. So that's important. Also, in addition to that, I believe that much of the fruits of our labors that we're not going to see until we get to heaven. There's going to be many people that we may have said something to them about Jesus right now, and later on in their lives or whatever it was that they may not even realize, or we may not even realize that it was us who had spoken a word or sowed a seed into them. And God waters the seeds. We don't water the God waters the seeds, but simply by maybe telling somebody that Jesus loves you, it can be something that's so important. I actually went to go see Lee Strobel in person at Providence Baptist Church. And if you're not familiar with Lee Strobel, he did it was The Case for Christ. And there was a movie that came out about him. And it was The Case for Christ or something like that, where he was an atheist. And he ended up coming to Christ later on. And he worked, I think it was for a newspaper right around Chicago. When he became a Christian, he told us the story. He said, sometimes God uses a ricochet. In other words, where we'll be telling somebody about something and we'll think that we're supposed to be talking to them, but God is actually using it in a different way. One of the things that he told us, he says that one day he went up to his boss and he felt that God had wanted him to tell his boss about Jesus. And he started talking to his boss and he said, sir, I've got to tell you about Jesus. You need to start going to church. You need to get your family into church. And his boss just looked at him like he was an idiot. And he says, Lee, what are you talking about? He says, I'm an atheist. I don't believe any of that stuff. And so Lee Strobel went away that day thinking it was just a complete waste of time. Until years later, a man came up to him and he said, hey, Lee, I want to thank you for helping bring me to Christ. And Lee was kind of dumbfounded, and he says, what are you talking about? He says, I don't know if you remember this several years ago, but you were talking to your boss about Jesus and telling him that he needed to go to church. Well, I was actually outside of your boss's office that day. And when I was outside of his office, I heard you saying that he needed to go to church and that he needed to give his life to Christ. And I was just, the Holy Spirit, he said, convicted me, and I realized that I needed to take my family to church. And it's funny that we think that God has to use us in a way that we think he wants us to use us in way A. But a lot of times God is taking us to option B. And a lot of times God has a funny avenue or a different direction than we would ever go to reach people for Christ. We want it to be easy. We want it to be simple. But God doesn't ask us to get the results. God asks us just that we tell people and that we go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel and we make disciples and we help others. And really, that's why I'm on here talking to you today, friends, is because You know, if there's something that I could do today or something that I could say that it would inspire you, maybe just to tell somebody about Jesus, then it would all be worth it. Matter of fact, it was we were talking about being persecuted for Christ. Years ago, I was actually working with the Raleigh JCs. And when I was with the Raleigh JCs, we did a Christmas thing, and we were helping out kids who were underprivileged. And we picked up this one kid, and he was a little bit different than the other kids. And, you know, a lot of the kids said thank you or this or that. But this kid was precocious. He was a sort of a bundle of joy. He was a lot of fun to be around. And one of the things that he said to us was this. I'll never forget it. He said, you know, people tell me at school, he said, the other kids, they tell me that I'm crazy. And he said, when they tell me I'm crazy, I look at them and I say, thank you. Well, it's kind of like that Mike Pence story that I told you about a little bit before. Yeah, people are going to think we're different. People are going to even think we're crazy. I read an article years ago about how it was I think it was in my psychology class and in college or sociology in college at Appalachian State. And in the course, it says, is a woman who is on a bus to work and she's talking to God. He says, is she mentally ill or is she just overly religious? I think we have to realize that the world will never understand us. The world is going to think we're crazy. The world is going to think that what we're doing doesn't make any sense. But we have to remember that we're not doing this for the world. We're not doing this for the applause of other men. We're doing this for Jesus. The world is going to tell you that you're being crazy for being a dedicated Christian. And when they tell us that we're crazy, we should just say, thank you. Mark 13:13, it says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures till the end, the same shall be saved. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. I remember I had a boss years ago, and he went to this meeting that he used to go to, the Men's Christian Business Network. And I had a friend of mine, and my friend wasn't a Christian, and as far as I know, still isn't. But what he said to me, he said, Mike, he says, does it bother you that your boss goes to this other meeting for the Christian Business Network? And I thought about it for a moment because I said, well, it was a good question. But I one of the things that I thought about was Philippians 1:15-18. It says, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in either way, whether from false motives or true, that Christ is preached, and because of this, I will rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. And, you know, sometimes we see people, maybe they're doing things that we think are the wrong reasons. You know, a lot of people say, oh, somebody's just preaching on TV because they're making a lot of money. But it reminds me of this verse. It is true that some preach Christ out of different reasons, maybe even for their own selfish ambition. But either way, Christ is being preached. It almost kind of sounds like he's being a smart aleck there. He says, hey, you know what? He says, I don't care why people are doing it. As long as people are talking about Jesus and people are telling people about Jesus and people are hearing about Jesus, who cares why they're doing it? You know, it says in Scripture that there are many different parts of the body. But just because we're not the mouthpiece or just because we're not the part that we think is the most important, it doesn't mean that what we're doing is not important. You know, I think a lot of times in churches today or on the radio or wherever it is, I mean, that the people, the preacher, the guy who's up there in front of the audience and doing all of the work, you know, people always talk about the preacher and all the great stuff that he's doing. And he's definitely one of the pieces. He's an apostle. He's a preacher. But a lot of times it's the small stuff that makes a difference as well. And if you're out there today and you know what, you may be doing a lot for the kingdom of God and you know what, you may not be getting the recognition or you may not be getting the applause, I just want you to remember this, that Jesus said, he says, don't do your works in front of men to be applauded by men. It says, if you do it to be applauded by men. It says your Father in heaven, you've already been given your reward. You're not going to be rewarded by your Father in heaven. It says, but when you do your good works, do them in private so that your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you openly. And I think that's important. It says, it's, you know, not only that we're doing the good things for Jesus, because it is important to do good things for Jesus. It's important for us to give money. It's important for us to, tithe to the church. It's important for us to know, you know, as it says in Hebrews 10:25, it says, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves as some of them have done. That's important. But what's also important from what he says in Matthew chapter 6 is not to do your works in front of men to be seen by them. And sometimes that's one of the toughest things for us to do, is because, you know, we all want to do the good things, and it's important that we do the good things. But in addition to doing the good things, it's important that we keep it quiet, because if we keep it quiet, then we're not doing it for men so that other people can see what we're doing, but God will reward us openly. And God loves you. If there's anybody out there today who hasn't given their life to Christ, you know, it says in Scripture that today is the day of salvation. And my prayer for you today is that you ask Jesus to come into your heart, to live within you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. And if you do this, we believe that you'll be born again. Go find yourself a good Bible-based church and have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to If Not For God with Mike Zwick. For more shows, subscribe on iTunes to If Not For God. For more information on Mike or to contact him, go to ifnotforgod.life.